Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki.
Hello, Kiki, and hello to all of our listeners.
Yes, and we are so excited to have you with us, and we'd like to thank you all for our 25,000 downloads.
Yeah, and thank you for bearing with us while we had an unexpected break.
Yes, it's been the year seems to be flying by, and
the year's flying by, but there was a few personal things.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I lost my dog.
Yes.
We had a couple of things, didn't we, happen that just meant that we just couldn't get our diaries together to get together to do this. But we're back.
Yeah, we are back. You know, Siobhan, you're very, very busy working doula, aren't you? And I
and as are you, Kiki.
Yes. So when we can get together, we also end up talking about lots of...
Yeah.
Lots of things to discuss.
Yes.
But we are back for the second episode this year.
Is it the second one this year? So it's season two, three. Season three,
and
episode two.
Yeah, but so we have lots to talk about today.
Loads to get through.
So we should just
crack on with the show.
Get on with it. Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
And now it's time for...
Doula Dilemmas.
As you can hear, we're still no better at singing.
I thought that was beautiful. Let me read this week's dilemma. A doula is starting with a postnatal client, and her client is struggling with breastfeeding. There appears to be a lot of confusion and miscommunication around the support she has already had. How does the doula put the correct information across without making her client feel like she's done something wrong?
Interesting dilemma.
Yes.
So, yes, what does she do? It's true, though, there is a lot, isn't there, when it comes to breastfeeding. There is a lot of conflicting information.
Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly. Welcome to the land of confusion. There's so many different pieces of information and advice given by so many different people. Mm. And when you turn up as the postnatal doula and she's sitting there crying and saying, I don't know what to do. I've been told to do it like this. I've been told to hold the baby like this. And, you know, how do you then, instead of saying, oh, no, that's all wrong.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Because... obviously, she's trying really hard here, but getting so many different stories that it's really difficult to know how do you unpick it all.
Mm.
Because you might say, as a doula, you might say, show me what you're doing. Show me how you feed your baby. Or you might, better to say, show me how your baby is feeding.
Mm.
And then they show you and you look at them and they're doing all these really complicated holds and all the pillows everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it is a difficult one.
It is.
I'm sure you've had this experience when they've seen, like, what do you signpost to someone to come in, or what do you do?
I suppose it depends on what the issue is.
Yes.
If it's anything more than position and attachment issues, then yeah, absolutely, signpost to an IBCLC.
Yeah. But how do you say to someone, okay, that technique you've been shown, or... you know, all these things when people are told to only feed for this long from one side or the other side, and talking about foremilk and hind milk, which we don't do anymore. Like, the people they have seen are not up to date with their breastfeeding knowledge.
Yeah. Well, when you think as a postnatal doula, or as if you've been the birth doula and you've gone back to do the postnatal visit, which usually you would do within, you know, a week or 10 days of the birth.
Yes.
By which point... they may have seen four or five different midwives on the postnatal ward if they've you know, remained in hospital for any period of time after the birth. Then they've come home and they've seen community midwives.
Yeah.
And then they've probably seen their health visitor as well.
Yeah.
So that's at least six people, if not more, who potentially have all got completely different takes on how to breastfeed a baby.
Yeah.
Plus whatever... you know, information the parents have got themselves.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, plus then the in-laws, the mum, yes, the mother-in-law, yeah, the friends.
Yeah. And the person in the background telling you, give a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it's just a case of just taking a breath and saying, well, how is it working for you?
Yeah.
And obviously if it's not working, saying, well, let's see.
Yeah.
If there's any small adjustments that might help support.
But I think the difficulty is to say, when you watch someone and what they're doing, it's just all completely not going to be sustainable. Mm. Like, how do you bring them back to the start again? How do you say, without making them feel that it is them that's causing the issue?
Mm.
Because when you're a new mum, you're so sensitive, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I think the one of the things you can do is say, acknowledge the fact that, yes, this is confusing. Mm. And breastfeeding is a skill that you both have to learn, both you and your baby.
Mm.
And it's not all natural. Yes, it might be the way we are meant to feed our babies, but it doesn't mean it's easy.
No.
So I guess the thing is to bring it back and say, look, why don't we try and start from the beginning?
Yeah, that's it.
And then see where we get.
Yeah.
So it's kind of getting them on board. And if they say, well, I thought I was doing it right and now I'm realising I'm doing it all wrong, it's just saying, no, you weren't. It's just really difficult to take all that information on board. And like you said, from so many different people.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing we do, which you mentioned there, Siobhan, is we're not experts.
No.
So, and our breastfeeding knowledge that on the Birth Bliss Academy course, we have a whole day on infant feeding, and yet that's nothing when it comes to infant feeding. Yeah. But you have your basics so that you can help with the basics. And then it's really important, isn't it, to network with a fully qualified IBCLC, I would say.
Absolutely. Always good to sign, you know, you should always signpost, understand your limits.
Yes.
And what your remit is as a doula.
Yeah.
Signpost.
Yeah, and say, well, we can try these different things.
Yeah.
And even to websites you can
And YouTube. Help. I always find YouTube videos are great. So, if, you know, there's particular lactation consultants who have done some really great videos that you can, you know, you can all download free off YouTube. And also it's easier sometimes. Rather than saying, this is how you do it, and then you leave, and of course they completely forget all that information. Yes. Showing a video can really help.
Yeah. And if you are a postnatal doula helping specifically with breastfeeding, I do think you should make sure you bring a doll and a knitted boob or some kind of a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's so difficult.
No one wants to see you groping your own breast.
No, but also... When you're showing positioning, you need to have something to position.
Yeah.
And like a pillow or something, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
And say, oh, can I borrow your baby and show you? That just feels weird. You're literally putting someone else's baby towards your breast.
And also to be hands-off.
Yes.
With any support that you give, because, you know, we've all seen, you know, people shoving breasts into babies' mouths.
And, yes.
You know, and that's all very well, but where is that third hand at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Exactly.
You know, so it's important that we help support clients to be able to do it themselves.
Because I'll tell you what, people can make breastfeeding seem totally impossible. Like it's the most difficult thing with their help.
Mm.
You know, because it's too much information. It's too much to worry about. For the new mum, and it just seems so much more difficult than actually using formula and bottle feeding, and that's why the sooner we can get the right help to mums that want to breastfeed, so they get the help that they need, then the problems can be fixed so much quicker. But I do think you might feel overwhelmed as a doula when you walk into a situation where everything has been miscommunicated and the mum is totally confused.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say the best thing is to say, show me what you do, and then we can work from there.
Yeah, let's see how the baby feeds, and we'll take it from there. And like you say, if need be, you just hit the reset button.
Yeah.
Start again.
Yeah.
And build up.
Yeah.
You know, build up from there.
I often also say to my clients, especially with breastfeeding, I say, if there's one person that you really like, you know, and what they're saying, and it makes sense to you, and they are someone that knows what they're talking about,
yeah,
then just stick to that person. Ignore all the others.
Hmm.
You know, there's so many specialists and experts, but yeah, you can't really go wrong with an IBCLC.
I think it's important to, you know, yeah, definitely check the qualifications, because I've noticed there's a lot of breastfeeding specialists.
Yes.
What do you mean breastfeeding specialist?
Yeah. What studying have you done?
What is your qualification?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you could, it's even someone like, whose name shall not be mentioned, but have written loads of books on breastfeeding.
Yeah.
You know, has her own technique, which is like, she's the only one.
Yeah.
But that's because it's not right. It causes a lot of issues.
Mm.
But that's the thing. You know, anyone can call themselves a specialist or even a consultant, breastfeeding consultant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, even though they have not gone through the rigorous, can't even speak, the really, you know, the exams and all the knowledge that you have to have as an international board certified lactation consultant.
Yeah. And there's one in most areas.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, as doulas, it's good to build up that black book of who is local in the area that you can signpost to.
Yeah, definitely. And yes, I think it's an important point that you said about knowing your boundaries.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do not just go along for weeks supporting someone with breastfeeding that just keeps struggling for weeks because you're actually not signposting because you think, I need to try and fix this myself.
Yeah.
You don't.
No.
I mean, that's the thing with doulas. We're not about us.
No.
I think that's really important. Being a doula is not about us. Being a doula and being whatever, expert or great, it's about supporting the client so they get the right help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hopefully that's given you some food for thought. I think we can stop there. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Now it's time for
Question time.
And we've had an email from someone that has a question for us. So let's see if we can help. This is how it goes. I'm a new doula and there's an established group of doulas in my area. They seem to have done so many additional training courses and I'm kind of losing all my confidence. Do you think I should be doing more training courses too?
Hmm.
Okay, so this is like not an unusual email to get actually as a doula trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and as a mentor, I'm sure you get these all the time.
Mm.
What would you say? How do you think about how to answer it?
Well, first of all, it's great that there's a doula network in the area, a busy doula network, because that's obviously something we always encourage new doulas to do, is to reach out to the local doulas.
Yeah.
Let them know that you've trained and you're in the area, and if they have any meetups, go along.
Yeah.
But you're right. I've had this as well. I've had doulas say, you know, I feel quite intimidated. Yeah. They've got so much knowledge.
Yeah.
But you know what I always say to them is that if somebody's looking for a doula, that's what they're looking for, a doula.
Yes.
They're not looking for a Reiki master or a spinning babies expert or an acupuncturist or a yoga teacher or a Pilates teacher or whatever else additional training somebody has done. They've come to either your website or the directory because they're looking for a doula.
Yes.
And actually sometimes all of this additional training that people do can be off-putting.
Yeah.
Because people might say, well, you can't possibly be a specialist in all of those things.
No.
Isn't it better to focus your attention on one thing and be really good at that?
Yeah.
So I don't think you need to question your own validity. I think it's more about why do people feel they need to do all of this additional training? What do you think?
No, I agree. I agree 100% with this whole need to, as in being a doula on its own isn't good enough.
Yeah.
That you have to become an expert in everything that's related to childbirth, pregnancy and the postnatal period. And I think you're right. You can be a doula. You can be a birth doula, you can be a birth and postnatal doula, or you're just a postnatal doula. You don't have to have all these additional long list of things. I always say on the course that if you want to add something, it should be some counselling skills, listening skills.
Listening skills.
Yeah, because, yeah, exactly, rather than...
counselling.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, listening skills.
Trauma therapy, things
exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
But even then, you have all these additional things. Like you say, it's such a long list. And the worst thing you do as a new doula is to either go off and look at other doulas' websites or profiles on the doula directory, or you go on to meet them and then think, oh, I really need to do more training because how do I compete with these doulas? You're right. If someone's looking for a doula, they're looking for a doula, and they're looking for the doula that's right for them.
This is what I always say. It's the connection that matters, not the credentials.
Yes.
You know, I know doulas who have got many, many years of experience and many, many additional training, you know, workshops behind them. But would they be the doula that I'd have support me at birth? Maybe not.
No.
If the connection's not there.
No, exactly.
So it's about having self-confidence and self-belief that you are enough.
Because one of the things that happens is that when we start to believe that we're not enough, that we're not good enough, that no one's going to hire us, that's what we're kind of then showing in our body, in our body language.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're going to a meeting and you think, like an initial meeting with a client, and you think that, oh, they're never going to pick me because my list of additional courses is non-existent. You're kind of telling that client, because we read body language more than anything. That's the biggest thing we communicate, is body language. So either going to an initial meeting and looking like, oh, no, they're going to not hire me because I'm not very good, or that desperation of please hire me, please hire me.
Yeah,
it are really off-putting things. And then you're kind of fulfilling this self-fulfilling prophecy that, see, no one is booking me.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to you who sent this email in to us that do not think that you aren't as good as all the other doulas.
Yeah.
Because how do you, like, how do you even value a doula? Like, as how do you... say that a doula is successful? What does it mean to be a successful doula?
Yeah, what measure are you using?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is the measure of a good doula?
Yeah.
Because why we're saying that is because it's different to from the client to client.
Yeah. And also, whoever is sent this email in, you know, have you ever thought that maybe it's those doulas that don't have the confidence, and that's why they are doing so many additional courses?
Mm.
Maybe they feel they've got some kind of imposter syndrome and they feel the need to do all this other stuff.
Yeah,
and it could be that.
Yeah, and I can totally see that in myself, being from Sweden, where everyone has a certificate for everything. You know, you get this belief that if I don't have it, that way, I'm not worthy.
Not good enough,
I'm not good enough. So you have to, I think you're right. Being a doula on its own is a profession on its own, and a very valid, you know, do a doula course.
Yeah. And we need to remember the essence of what being a doula is.
Yes.
It's about being with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about doing, is it? It's not.
No.
It's not about, you know,
fixing.
Yeah, exactly. Fixing is the biggest thing, isn't it? It's not about that.
Oh, let me see that course I did on the rebozos. I'm sure that's going to fix this problem. Or the spinning babies course, it's always positional. Well, rebozo goes hand in hand with that. I find that I think you might actually take your eye off the ball if you start thinking about all the other things, like trying to fix things.
I think it's quite telling sometimes as well is, you know, which probably comes, maybe it does come with experience, that sometimes birth is just the way it is for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it is just that way.
Yeah.
And it isn't about trying to fix.
No.
Fix it.
And maybe that person had to give birth like that.
Yeah.
Because in there lies some kind of a insight or lesson or growth for that person to tackle or deal with whatever it is that's making it be that kind of a birth.
Yeah.
I think you're right. It's kind of a gift in a way. And us as doulas trying to manage it and getting attached to an outcome.
Yes.
It can be really dangerous. And I do think that is what you might feel you are if you have a long list of additional training.
Mm.
Makes you feel like you're a little bit better than, to have better outcomes, that you should be providing better outcomes for people because you have all that training.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's given them something to have a think about. But being a doula is enough.
Yes. And that's the word, being. All those skills you have, you were born with, are actually what's making you a very, very good doula.
Yeah.
And if you add too much of the academic side of that, like lots and lots of training courses, I think you get lost in what's most important.
Yeah.
Potentially. I'm not saying that's the case. I mean, I know some people love doing training courses, but never go out to work as doulas. It's like,
yeah,
just do it.
Just get out there and do it. Yeah. You're going to be great.
Yes.
The Doula Dose, your weekly dose of doula.
Thank you, Annabelle. And this month's Doula Dose of Doula will be about doula regulation.
It's the big hot topic, isn't it?
Absolutely. And why is that, Siobhan? Do you want to give us some background?
So obviously there has been that news report, hasn't there, about the report that was written by the HSIB, which is the Health Safety Investigation Branch. Yes, correct, isn't it? Yeah. Who said that out of, I don't know, how many births was it?
But the thing was, if you do a report, you should actually do some proper studying and gather some proper evidence.
Yeah, so they had a few cases, didn't they, where out of those few cases, even fewer cases involved.
I think it was two cases out of 29 they looked into for doula support.
Yeah, involved the support of a doula.
Yes.
With obviously some form of serious outcome,
mm-hmm.
which they have basically said is the fault of the doula.
Yeah.
Without talking to the doula or, you know, collecting all the evidence, listening to everybody who was involved. They've just come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to read something from this report if I can find it here, because it is the way it was actually written. So this is the bit here that I really liked. So they looked at 12 of the 29 investigations that doulas worked outside of the defined boundaries of their role. So we don't really know where they got those boundaries from, because they haven't spoken to any doulas. Mm. But this bit, the care or advice provided by the doula was considered to have potentially had an influence on the poor outcome for the baby.
Right. So somebody says,
yeah,
it's had an influence, yeah, and therefore that is fact.
It was considered to have potentially. I mean, how come? Yeah. So
conflicting.
It's and this has led then to the HSIB saying, oh, we are meeting with regional chief midwives.
This is the thing that gets me. Yeah. They're having a meeting without inviting any doulas.
Yeah. To national learning, which supports introduction of national guidance for doulas, some kind of a role. I mean, I think this is, I can't even find the word.
Bullshit?
Yeah, thank you. It's utter bullshit, because a doula doesn't work for a trust.
Doulas don't give advice either.
No, exactly. And these stories that they have, obviously it's terrible, any negative outcome for any family losing a baby. It's terribly, terribly sad.
We don't know that is the case though, do we?
Or I think there is one where...
Or does it say,
was the case.
Right.
But we don't have all the facts.
No, exactly.
And we don't know exactly what happened. And we know that doulas are potentially vulnerable and exposed when it comes to negative outcomes.
That's the thing. Whenever, you know, whenever there is a serious situation
yes.
in a birth room,
yeah.
it's a highly charged situation.
Yes. Yeah.
And obviously you have the parents that are obviously clearly involved in it.
Yeah.
Then you have the healthcare professionals who, you know, are thinking about protecting their back.
Yes.
The most vulnerable person in that room is mm-hmm. the doula.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because also it is kind of, it's like human nature to want to blame someone.
Yes, absolutely.
And if anything that the doula has said has been interpreted as, she told me to do that.
Well, of course.
You have no proof that, you know, yeah, as a doula,
you have nothing to back you up. And that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, we've all had it with feedback from our clients. Thank you so much for that advice you gave me. I didn't give you any advice.
No, I gave you information
for you to make an informed decision.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the interpretation, yeah. isn't it, of, you know, did the doula obstruct? Yeah. Or actually, did the parents say, you know,
yeah.
I don't want a midwife to talk to me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't just make assumptions
no.
like they have done no. here. And they can't have meetings and not include the doula community no. in those meetings.
No, absolutely not. Because, and this is interesting, and Maddie McMahon wrote a really good blog on this about how there is no interest in other birth workers to learn more about doulas, like midwives, obstetricians,
yeah,
they don't anaesthetists, anyone else. We know about the midwives. We know about what their roles are. We understand all the other roles, but mm-hmm. it's this assumption of those people that what doulas do. And the other thing with regulation, like, how do you regulate?
Who's going to regulate?
Yeah, and how?
This is the thing I think we have to be very careful about in the doula community.
Yeah,
because we have some people who sit on the side of the fence that will say, oh, regulation.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds very professional, very polished.
Yes.
And puts us, you know, gives us a seat at the table.
Yeah.
When actually, regulation could be really detrimental to us.
100%. It's just adding another layer.
It's another layer. And the thing is, I don't want to end up like, you know, like some states in America are, where yeah. you have to toe the line to get a license yeah. to work in a particular yeah. hospital. So, yeah. you know, are you advocating for your client, or are you worried about your license?
Yeah, exactly.
Do we want to end up like that?
No.
No.
But I also feel that, and this kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with the question we had about some doulas wanting to have lots of training and certificates. And I would go as far as saying, like, we need to check in with ourselves as doulas. Why do we feel that we need to be validated by some external source? Like, is this about the doula? Like, I don't feel important and valued enough unless I've had this tick box to say, oh, yeah, now this outside entity that regulates us have said, yes, you're good enough.
Do you know what I liken it to? I liken it a bit to, like, the bully.
Okay.
The person being bullied just desperately wants to be liked by the bully.
Yes.
And is constantly trying to be liked by the bully by attending meetings and sitting on committees and not getting paid for it.
Yes.
Because you're just desperate for the bully to like you.
Or be recognised.
And be recognised.
As an authority.
Or as an equal.
Yes. Yeah.
But that could be at the detriment to our core values.
Yeah. But what is a doula? A lay person.
Exactly.
Who's been around forever. For since we've been having babies, we've had doulas.
Yeah.
You know, a lay support person who helps bring information and make that person who's having a baby and haven't had a baby feel confidence in the choices they're making.
Yeah.
How do you do that if you have a list of things you can and can't do?
Yeah.
I mean, the fundamental flaw lies in what they've just written there, that we give advice, because we don't.
We don't, no.
We give the information.
And any regulation that's going to be set, whether it be by the HSIB themselves or Who else have they mentioned there? The world.
Oh, the midwives.
Yeah.
The regional
head of midwifery.
Yeah.
Any regulation is only going to be to benefit them.
Yeah.
It's not going to be beneficial to us.
No.
It's basically going to say to us, you just sit down in the corner like a good girl and do as you're told.
Yeah. But also, hang on a minute. Who are maternity services for? The people giving birth, yeah? Which should be woman-centred care.
Mm-hmm.
What is best for women that want to have doulas? Isn't that to just be allowed to have their doula with them? So how are we going to be in a maternity system that's offered woman-centred care or birthing person-centred care and at the same time regulate against... We're not putting them in the centre. We're putting the system at the centre. We need to make it easier for the system.
I mean, doesn't the maternity services already have enough of their own problems to sort out without having to start having meetings about some, you know, if we look at the bigger picture, this is a minuscule amount of people we're talking about here, isn't it? When we talk about the amount of so-called damage has been done by having a doula at a birth compared to having...
Oh, gosh.
You know,
a doctor
or a midwife, or midwives who are regulated or who on a daily basis are causing harm.
Yeah.
So don't you think you should sort your own house out before you start worrying about ours?
But this is where that scapegoat comes in, doesn't it? Let's draw our attention away from all the things that we are doing wrong on a daily basis.
And focus it. Smoke and mirrors, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Spotlight the doula.
Let's spotlight the doulas and take the attention off ourselves.
Because I'd like to make it clear, there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that doulas pose a risk to women or their babies.
No, there isn't any evidence.
In fact, every single study confirms that having a doula there improves the outcomes every time.
Yeah.
So that's the number one thing. And why would regulating doulas stop things
from
going
happening?
Wrong? Like you say, it still happens all the time. And also, if you think about it, access to doulas is already... for many are privileged, although we have, you know, access funds and, you know, charities that offer doula support. Now add on a regulation.
Which will have to be paid for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work.
No.
And
but also, you know, on the other side of this as well, it is the doula community ourselves.
Yes.
We need to support our fellow colleagues.
Yes, I think that's a big one. Where it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I'm embarrassed to work as a doula for hearing these stories. And, exactly that.
But that's
hearing
what they are.
These stories.
They're stories. Yeah. Exactly. You do not have all the information.
No.
Therefore, you should not be making a judgment.
No.
And that should be fundamental as a doula. You should know that.
Yeah.
If you haven't got all the information, you can't make
an informed choice, opinion,
decision about what the out you know who was to blame there. So we have to stick together as doulas. It's very dangerous if we start prioritizing our relationships with the healthcare professionals. You know, I talk about the bully and wanting to be liked by the bully. If we start prioritizing our relationships, you know, because we're on first name terms with the head of midwifery or the PMA or you know, the consultant registrar, I don't care who they are.
No.
You know, you shouldn't be condemning your colleagues without all the information just because you've been told a story on a meeting that you've sat in and or, you know, a story that a midwife has told you when you've been working.
Exactly that. And we had that discussion actually the other day in our doula the doula sessions we have at the Birth Bliss Academy and where a story was shared about exactly that, how Chinese whispers...
Mm.
And assumptions lead to this. Well, we've all sat in that ring when someone's whispering in your ear.
Yeah.
And you know how is it? That's exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree. We are needing to stick together because, again, this is what happens in our society. We're not used to sticking together as women and supporting each other. And we need to do that. We're playing right into the patriarchy with the whole rules and regulation thing. When actually we are that soft, gentle, kind of non-regulated person that can really be truthful and be there for our clients.
And no agenda.
Exactly. And all doulas work in different ways and they, you know, whatever might be seen as being outside of guidelines, which, like, everyone births like they want, we can't be judging anyone without the full story. And I, for me personally, regulation, what, are we going to start regulating all birth partners then? So, like, if you're a dad going in with your wife to have a baby, oh, no, you need to sign this. You're not allowed to tell your wife or speak up for your wife or remind people around that, you know,
that they have rights.
Yeah, exactly. Or that they haven't consented to treatment, or that they can decline things and that they can go home if they want to.
Yeah.
You know, who is these regulations? Yeah, like you say, for the hospital.
They're, of course they're going to be. They're only going to be to benefit the health service, not the person giving birth or the doula.
No.
And if we have these regulations, we're not really going to be practicing how we're designed to practice, which is, you know, with no agenda.
No, we won't be able to.
We won't be able to because we'll be worried about losing our license.
Yes, exactly. So what's the point of a doula?
So, yeah, a lot of food for thought there for doulas out there who are banging the drum for regulation. Yeah. You know, I think you need to just open your eyes to the bigger picture and what that could actually look like.
Yeah, and really investigate in yourself what it is that makes you feel so strongly that this is needed.
Yeah.
Is it for yourself to look better than others or for you to have that validation? I think I'm mega against it, and but these things come up, don't they? We've been around for a while now, Siobhan.
Yeah, they come up. They come up and then they go back down under the surface and then they come back up again.
Yeah. But anyway, that was our heavy dose.
Yeah. It's a big dose this time.
Yeah, so please, if you have your own thoughts.
Yeah, do let us know in our Facebook group if you've got opinions on what you think about regulation, what it might look like.
Yeah, and some of our, you know, lovely doula friends over in the States.
Yeah, who have this.
Yeah, and other places in the world that are...
Let us know how that feels.
Yeah, and how that works, because I definitely don't want to be heading that way. And do you know what? At the end of the day, we'll just say we're not doulas.
Yeah, we'll just say we're birth partners.
Doulas are regulated. Okay, well, I'm not a doula, so I just do what I want anyway. It's not going to work.
No.
Yeah, so that's it. End of. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Phew, phew. We've come to the end of the show. That was,
that was heavy.
That was heavy going. But, you know, Siobhan and I, we like to have these conversations. And we would love to have you join in on any conversations that you think are good to talk about.
Yeah.
So please send us in your... We have got an email address that I can't remember now.
It's probably something along the lines of...
It is the doula... doula dispensary at gmail.com.
There you go.
Yeah, and we also have the Facebook group, the doula dispensary. Been talking for too much.
It's been a while since we've done one of these. We've forgotten what we're called.
Yes, but you can contact us there with any thoughts you have. But we are, we're at the end. So what are you up to next week then, Siobhan?
What am I doing next week?
Next month, we should say.
Next month, next month.
What are you going on for next month?
So I'll be on call.
Okay.
What else have I got on? Oh, yes. Yeah, so my son's doing his end of years at uni.
Oh.
So he's come to the end of his 3 years. So he's got his finals. And then my daughter's doing her A-levels.
Oh.
So it's pretty full on with...
A house full of nerves. Well,
yeah.
I guess he's
away, obviously doing it, but yeah, she's definitely it's stressful.
Yes.
So there's more of that, and then yes, obviously still working with clients.
Yeah.
What about you? What are you up to?
So I'm going to Bournemouth
Lovely
next week.
Bournemouth.
Yes.
I love Bournemouth. Such a gorgeous part of the country.
So I'm looking forward to that doula course in Bournemouth.
Lovely.
And then
are you going to go down to the seaside?
I'll always. I book the venue very close, like literally 5 minute walk down to the beach.
Are you going to go for a swim?
No.
Oh, it's wasted on you.
I know. Maybe. I might dip my toe.
Well, the next time it's in Bournemouth, hopefully I can go.
Yes. Yeah, then you can go swimming every morning.
Yeah.
And then let's see, we're coming through to June. I've got another course in London in June. Anyone interested? There's some places there in Wandsworth. And then I'm actually, going to
Finish for the summer and go off to Sweden.
Sweden, Lapland. Yeah, but we I'm sure we should squeeze another episode.
We will definitely get another episode in for sure.
So I guess that's all we have to say this month.
Yeah, but do reach out if you've got any questions or if you have any viewpoints that we haven't covered. Any topics you want us to cover,
then send us some questions in.
Yeah, please do keep sending your questions in.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you.
And I guess that's all that's left to say is
see you next month.
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein. Do 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 do